It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 715, and this is a very special episode. It's a two-parter. To start with, we've got Pete Murray, and this was probably the highlight of the 24-hour show. The Gronks got to share an incredible moment when Pete played his song Opportunity for us. It's something that we'll remember forever. Then after that, we've got Hamish Blake and his cat, Meowbit.
Pete Murray is in the building.
Mate, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, mate.
How many live streams have you done like this before?
I've just done a couple on Instagram. Nothing on Zoom, so you guys are first ones.
Okay, great.
Mate, this is amazing. I can imagine you've been in quite a few green rooms over your time. Can you give us a sort of rundown of what the experience was like before you entered this? That's our version of a green room.
Yeah, Charles, what was the experience? Yeah, just review on Charles.
Green rooms. What have you guys been to a lot of other green rooms? Just thought I'd ask you this question first to see what you're...
For the fires, we did something at the ESPY in Melbourne. It was the first time we ever got sort of the green room experience, and we were enjoying it.
We took advantage, Pete.
Yeah,
we took advantage.
Did you draw a penis on the wall? It's pretty much most people draw a penis on the wall.
I thought that was a Pete Murray thing. Like, is that an industry thing?
That's pretty much. Yeah, it seems to be an industry thing. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not saying that I do that, but every green room that I've been to has a penis and a set of balls on the wall. So. There's quite a few that have lots of those on the wall. So that seems to be the especially for the grungy scene when you're first starting off and you're playing some of the smaller rooms. That's kind of pretty standard.
Yeah,
Pete, I know you were involved in some bushfire relief fundraisers. How much cash did you help raise amongst your colleagues?
With the latest relief. Guys, it's $9 million, something like that.
Wow. That's outrageous.
Oh,
that
wow.
is so good.
Yeah. I did one ages ago, the tsunami, which is 2004, that might have been, at the SCG. And once again, they probably raised, $6 or $7 million, I think, for that. That was back then, Midnight Oil were playing, was with Powderfinger, Missy Higgins, John Butler. It was kind of when I first kicked off. And so it was really great to be part of that. Heath Ledger was over there for it as well, so I got to meet Heath.
What is your favourite venue in Australia to play at?
You've got indoors and you've got outdoor venues. So the outdoors are always fun, There was a little venue in Melbourne, and for the life of me, I can't think of what it's called now. It's on Nicholson Street. I think it's closed down, but it basically fit 100 people. And when I first moved to Melbourne to play these shows, I'm so sorry, guys, I just can't think of the venue, what it's called.
That's
I used to go there and play to, 20 people, and that was a good crowd for me. So when things started blowing up, I went back and I would do actually just a couple of secret shows at this little venue that had like the red velvet curtains and, just a couple of little tables in the room and a couple of little candles, and it was just a beautiful spot.
That
was kind of like my little spot to play live, indoors. Outdoors, there's many places.
I feel like I saw you perform years ago at the Melbourne Zoo or something like that. I remember there was a Twilight show, which was awesome. The outdoor
anything around sunset's fantastic. Got that great mood and your sunset's going down, and it's just it's incredible. We did a zoo show in Sydney. Taronga, and that was pretty amazing because you've got that real estate there is incredible. You've got the backdrop is Sydney Harbour Bridge, and then you've got Sydney. It's a really amazing place. So that's probably, it would be one of the top spots to play.
Yeah.
In terms of your sort of, I could imagine you kind of bringing the same energy to each show, but when you have less in the crowd, say you got 20 people, what's the difference between 20 and 20,000 in terms of your experience as a performer?
Sometimes 20 people is more intimidating because they're so close to you, they can see what you're doing, they can hear everything that you're saying. When you're playing to a big crowd, it's you can, you know what I used to do when I first started having the success and playing to larger crowds? It was scary to think, you know, you'd walk out and there'd be 10,000 or 15,000 wherever you're playing, like there's a lot of people there packed in a tent or wherever you are. And I decided to go, okay, I've just got to think of this as one big fat person rather than thousands. So and that kind of made me relax and have a bit of a laugh because I would go out and I'd go, geez, that bastard out here today. And you just start to relax with it. So you don't think there's so many people, it's just one big fat dude watching you play.
One of the reasons why we George, our producer, our executive producer, reached out was because I had been mentioned, like I mentioned on the show, we did a bit where it's like, what are you listening to at the moment? And every single, I just got a Google Home in my bathroom. And so every morning I wake up and I say, hey, Google, play Pete Murray. And sometimes I say opportunity, sometimes I just let it spin, whatever it's yep. going. So it was awesome. It's amazing that you're here and we really appreciate you giving your time. What are you listening to at the moment?
Oh, you know what? I've been listening to a lot of my new mixes. We've got some new music coming out soon. So I've been, once you start to do a new project, it's kind of hard to check anything else out, you know. You've got to get focused on your own music and really make sure you've got that right. What I do love, and is a good friend of mine, is Ben Howard. I really like Ben's stuff. You know, he's, I think he's a great songwriter. And, you know, we first played together over in the UK years ago. And I didn't know who Ben was. He wasn't very well known, but I was headlining this festival and Ben was supporting me over there. And lovely guy. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I had kind of lost touch with him, and a friend of mine said, oh, have you heard this this guy? It's fantastic. It's Ben Howard. I said, no, actually, I played with a guy called Ben Howard years ago, and actually turned out to be the same guy. So he just exploded, you know, and great, really unique style, the way he plays, I think, with his guitar. And, yeah, so I listen to a lot of him most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, when I listen to your voice play back to me, I love it, and I think, what a voice. When you listen to you, Pete, when you are in that process of doing a new album, what's the internal monologue about Pete Murray's voice playing to Pete Murray? It's an obscure question, but what are you, or are you beyond that?
I'm beyond that now. I think early days, you know, when you guys, same thing, when everyone hears themselves recorded talking for the first time, you're going, that's not me. It sounds weird. And for some reason, you're the only person that thinks you sound really silly, you know, where you're normal to everyone else. But and same when you hear yourself sing for the first time, it's a strange thing. And doing some of the first early demos was a tricky thing for me because you had to get used to that. And but now I'm kind of fine. You know where your voice sounds good, and you know what range it kind of works well in. And I guess I've been producing a lot of my own stuff for a long time, so you get to know that. And I'm so used to it now. I've been doing this for nearly professionally for getting close to 20 years now.
It feels like there's, you know, something about your music that's very like moment based, like whether it's in the car on a road trip or sort of like imagine, especially going into winter, having sort of the fire going. Do you get into that? Like, do you want to play, say, your guitar and sing along in those types of environments, or do you get that sort of vibe?
You know, I do love like an intimate setting and where you have where I can play my music. I had played at a friend's place one time, and it's just a crowd of maybe 10 people, and they had fireplace going, and you know, I've got some beautiful acoustic guitars now. I had an old 60s 12 string. And just playing that in this massive big room, the acoustics sounded so good and the vocals sounded so great. You didn't need a PA, you know. So that's such a great vibe to play in. But then playing with the band and playing, you know, on a bigger stage, and you've got the whole thing's amped up. Because I, you know, I'm a big fan of both, you know, mellow acoustic songs and then also some rockier stuff too. Like Neil Young was a big influence on me. Neil does his folky acoustic stuff. And then he's got the big, you know, the kind of the old rock band stuff that he played with too. And Crazy Horse was a band. So, you know, for me, I love kind of music that has a groove to it and you can feel a little bit of energy. The more that I've gone along with music now, I'm kind of starting to get a little bit more groove happening in some of the songs. So, you know, for me, they're both great things. It's hard to sort of say one's better than the other, you know, like sitting there and around the fire and getting the acoustic guitar because I did that for years. Now I'm lucky enough that I can play to a large crowd and with a band.
You're actually the guy that when you bring out the acoustic guitar, like you're impressed. Like there's sort of varying levels of the guy, like the cliche guy with his guitar at the fireplace, right? Like I feel like you've got the ability to back it up, which is nice.
Well, that's good. Appreciate that. Yeah. I think a lot of my songs have, you know, I guess it's lyrical content that people connect to as well. I mean, you mentioned Opportunity. Opportunity is a great song for, you know, it's inspired a lot of people to make change and to get out of something that they're unhappy with. It was used in a lot of graduation songs for kids coming out of school to talk about, you know, like what it's about. Be happy in life. Make sure you make the right choices and don't stay in something that you're not happy in. So it's really great. There was a long time. I don't know if they're still playing it now. I'm probably too old now for the schools. They wouldn't know who I am. But there was a few generations that basically came through and they were all going, oh, your song was the song that you know, took us out of school and we grew up to. And so it was kind of nice to be a part of their lives. And as yours,
ISO.
You see you in the bathroom shower, you know.
Yeah, like, exactly. So. Yeah, every morning.
Glad I can do that. Good morning, it's great.
I mean, it's an ISO appropriate song, right? I mean, do you have access to your Spotify numbers as an artist? I've always been curious about that.
Yeah, I don't check that too much. I guess a lot of my fans, I think Spotify's kind of slowly taking off for a lot of my fans, but a lot of people have bought albums in the past. And so they're my fan base are still touring. We have a lot of people coming to shows. Spotify, it's probably not as big as a lot of younger acts that are playing that have that following because their generation, you know, they're into the Spotify. They understand it. I still have some friends of mine going, yeah, how does Spotify work? I don't really understand it, you know. So it's slowly changing quickly because people you have to get into it now because it's so handy. You know, you can just get anything you want. And but yeah, like I think my fan base is majority. They've got albums of mine that they or CDs or LPs for, you know, vinyl. So but the Spotify's changing. I think I'm excited for this new work. So, you know, where I think we haven't really pushed the Spotify stuff before. We're looking at actually getting into that and looking at getting on playlists and starting to work in that path.
I remember when I was probably like 20 years old and I was like, I heard somewhere, I think I'd read somewhere that you started playing guitar like later, like you were like, I think 20 something, like early 20s. And it sort of gave me all this, it gave me this confidence to have a crack because I wanted to play when I was like, yeah, there's still maybe, but yeah, I tried to play when I was a kid, like when I was like five and they're like, my hands were too tiny. So they gave me a keyboard and I fucking hated it. But so that's why I'm not a musician, you see. But so that is true. Like, how did you pick? What was the first time you sort of picked up the guitar?
Guitars, chicks dig guitar players rather than keyboard players. I've got to say that.
It's very
going
true.
With the guitar.
Yeah. Well, you're not even taking a keyboard. If I had to take a keyboard to a fire, you know, sort of, it's a bit pathetic, isn't it? It's just like, has anyone got spare batteries? Because I'm running low, you know? Shit.
Can we run a lead?
They'd probably go and start another fire up with the guitarist. And they'd leave you with the keyboard. Yeah.
How did it all happen?
I was 22, guys. So, you know, it's funny. I'm a big believer in fate, you know? And I had a friend of mine, I was studying natural medicine. I was right into sport. That was my life. I was doing athletics and I was playing rugby and studying natural medicine. So what I wanted to do when my sporting career was over, I wanted to get in and work with other sportsmen and women. So that's the path I was heading. 22, I had a friend of mine. He was studying. He was we were living together. He was doing teaching, but he just came into my room on one day and said, I'm going to get a guitar lesson. I've always wanted to learn the guitar, and I'm finally going to do something about it. And I thought, dude, that sounds pretty cool. I've never thought about doing music at all. That's never been anywhere, not in my family. I've had nothing to do with it. And I thought, that sounds great. I might go and do the same thing. So I borrowed a friend's guitar, and I went and had three lessons, which I didn't learn much from because I just had, knew nothing about it. But back then, we didn't have the internet, so I took the teacher's book, and I had to learn the chord shapes, you know, and that's how I taught myself how to play off the book. I went traveling overseas after that, and then I met buskers around the world that just showed me different things. And
did you actually travel with the guitar, Pete?
Yeah. I took off and I went and bought my own guitar in LA when I was over there, and went from LA across up, you know, up to Canada, right across to Toronto, and then over to the UK and through Europe. And the whole time I took this guitar with me, and I met other buskers. I wasn't quite good enough to busk, but the only time I busked back then, when I was still kind of learning, I learned a couple of Neil Young songs and Bob Dylan songs, I guess the folky thing. And I was in Canada, and it was freezing cold. And my very first time of busking, and myself and a friend, we went down and got the guitars out and played a couple of songs. And the very first person came up to us and said, "Hey, here, boys, here's $20. It's way too cold. Go home."
Okay, is that what you want?
So we went home. Yeah. So we got $20 and we went home. And the experience of just going around and learning off people, coming back, and then taking it a step further. When I got back, I started to get into songwriting, and I was happy to kind of play some covers for a while. And actually got a gig in Brisbane at a small little venue, and did some covers. And I thought this was great. And after about 3 months, I thought, this sucks big time. You're playing to a bunch of drunks that want to do the same songs over and over. And I thought, the only way I'm actually going to have a career in this is to write my own songs. So for about 2 years, I went and had a little room downstairs in my house, and I just sat there and I played two gigs a week, Friday, Saturday, and the rest of the time I wrote songs. And during that 2 years, I wrote songs like So Beautiful, Lines and things like that. We're quite a few songs off the Feeler album, and went and did my first independent album at the age of 30, and put that out. And I remember doing interviews with guys saying, "Look, you know, what do you think of the fact that, you know, they say if you haven't made it by the time you're 24 in the music industry, you're never going to make it. What do you think about that?" And I said, "Well, that's bullshit. I mean, you know, if you write a good song, it's a good song and it will find its way." So then, you know, after this all happened, everything sort of worked and things exploded. And just talking about what you said to me earlier, how, you know, I've inspired you to play guitar and pick up chicks and stuff like that, which is...
That's
right. So a lot of people who were in their 30s then started to message me and say, "Look, you've inspired me because, we didn't think it was possible to have success, you know, when you're in your 30s. And I think that was kind of also part of my story, because I was late starter. And, I did my first independent album at 30. And then Feeler came out, I was 32. So it was like, that's late. And so that was, inspiring yourself to pick up again. You can do it at any age. You just have to believe in yourself and believe that you've got the skill to
do you kind of think that you're glad that it happened? I mean, 30, you're kind of starting to find some maturity, hopefully. Are you glad that it didn't happen at 22?
Yeah, look, I was definitely, I could handle fame really well because it didn't affect me. I've kind of really got my feet on the ground with that sort of thing. I don't know how it would have affected me if I was in my 20s. I might have thought I was pretty amazing. Who knows? You know, when you're 20, you do think you're pretty amazing anyway.
Mr. 97's a good example of that. He's 20 and he's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. I'm surprised Sebs so. Hasn't asked Pete Murray to play at his 21st birthday with the confidence.
Yeah. That would be great.
Would you, Pete?
No, it's November.
That's the thing. Like, when you're 20, guys, like I said, you wouldn't really think that you're pretty amazing. So I didn't have the plan. You know? I think you think that you're bulletproof. Nothing's going to take you down. And I think as you get older and you start to have kids and you start to, real life starts to hit you, whatever happens, you know, it becomes tougher. And, you know, if that's the challenges start to begin.
Pete, I know, like, I feel musicians need to sort of build some thick skin around people that don't like their music because everyone's a critic these days. What do your kids think of your music? Because that can sting, can't it?
Yeah, look, actually, they're really positive about it. I remember my boys were quite little when the song Always a Winner came out, and they were in the back of the car. We were driving over to Perth. I think I had some shows on over there. And the guys were singing, you know, this song and fighting because one was getting the words wrong. The other one thought, no, that's not the words. And that's, you know, they're having a fight about it because they knew my song's better than the other one. So, you know, they're great. They've been to lots of shows. I think they get a bit over it now. Like anyone, you know, anyone's kid that's been in the industry, it's when you go to lots of shows and you meet lots of famous people, it's kind of like, oh, this is just normal. So they're still really supportive of it. And, you know, I the important thing is, and I've had lots of other friends who are musicians and get really affected by what people say about them. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what you've got to understand, there's going to be people that are going to love you and there's going to be people that are going to hate you. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. And you can't be affected by that because everyone has their own taste and it's their own opinion. If they don't like your music, then that's cool. You know what I mean? Anyone that gets caught up in what people are saying to them, you just got to forget it and don't even read it. And just as long as you know within yourself that you're enjoying what you're doing and you're giving, you know, a lot of joy to other people, then that's what you got to do. You know, it doesn't matter. You'll have the haters. They'll be there.
Yeah. Mm. Pete, thanks so much, mate. We really appreciate that you, we're just getting a little bit of an echo, but really appreciate you coming on the show. I know, you know, you're a busy guy, you're a dad, you've got a lot of things on and speaking to a few gronks. On the internet that you've never met, we really appreciate it. So yeah. Thanks so much.
Is this
much,
weird
mate.
For you, Pete? Because we're loving it. But is it weird for you?
No. I'm having a great time too, guys. No, it's really cool. Did you want to hear a song? I think you guys want to hear a song or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Is it too obnoxious, Pete? I do have this
a request.
No, I don't. Oh, look. I mean, opportunity would be great. But no, I also right. have Well, I've got the exclusive Daily Talk Show banner. I don't know if that's too much for you, but is that all good? Look, I can cut. Look, hang on. Maybe I'll give it clean. I think George will be pissed off if I do that. Here we go. All right, what are you going to play?
I'll give you two choices. I can play Feeler or I can play Opportunity.
Please. Opportunity, please.
Opportunity, please. Yeah.
So it goes another lonely day, sail on time, but you're miles away. Flowers drowning in some bitter tea. See a last opportunity. Find your mirror, look inside. See the talent you always hide. Don't go kid yourself, not today. Satisfaction's not far away. Hold on now, your exit is waiting just for you. Don't pause too long, it's fading now. It's risen all too soon. We'll see. Sing harmonies anytime, guys, whenever you want to come in.
I was waiting for the permission.
Car feels warm, but you milk is sour. Life is short, but you hear the flower.
dream yourself along another day. Never miss opportunity. Don't be scared of what you cannot see. The only fear is possibility. Never wonder what the hell went wrong. Second chance may never come, you know. Hold on, now your existence is waiting just for you. Don't pause too long, it's fading now. It's ending all too soon. You'll see. Soon you'll see.
Now, I'd get you to do a keyboard solo, but you don't have one there.
No, I don't. No,
so I'll go to the harmonica instead.
Okay, perfect.
All right, go.
Yeah. Safe.
Hold on, now you're exiting. It's waiting just for you. Don't pause too long, it's fading now. It's ending all too soon. You'll see. Soon you'll see. Soon you'll see.
Pete Murray.
Hey Google,
dude,
play Pete Murray. just testing it. Thanks so much, Pete. That was awesome.
That
means
amazing.
So much to us.
Good to talk to you guys. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, mate.
See you guys.
Thanks See you, so buddy. Much.
Hamish Blake. Hamish Blake.
Oh, it's better than the Sting.
Look at this.
Blake.
Am I? And I know, I assume everyone, most people are consuming this with a visual component as well because it's the live stream, but why am I the only person that doesn't have like a cool depth of field camera? How come you guys,
yeah.
Why do you look so good?
Do you know what? I know that we've been talking about you buying my 1DX Mark II for a while, but Canon.
I mean, you'd have to say that the price is going down day by day.
No, absolutely not. Canon just released an app, so you could even turn your 6D into a webcam. So it's great. So like you can plug in a good DSLR and you can use it on Zoom.
Yeah, that makes way more. I mean, you guys look unbelievable. This is insane. I feel like I'm talking to you from the 80s and you guys are talking to me from like the Star Trek Enterprise. This is crazy.
When we had Ben Fordham on, I think like straight away after he came on, it's like the producers like, we need to fix the camera because he's like, Ben's not happy. He's like, he can't look shit in front of us. So,
as you know, Ham, it's about the content though. I mean, like your Zoom not calls that you've been doing.
No.
It's all about the
Yeah, okay. Not about the 24-hour call. 24 hours, it's not about the content at all. It's about just getting to the end. yeah. I mean, JJ, and look, tell me, you guys would know, various people have attempted, I'm sure you did your research, various people have attempted the 24-hour live show. I think, I think maybe it was Jace from Jason PJ in Melbourne, for people in Melbourne, who used to go by the on-air name of Lab Rat. I'm pretty sure when he was in Brisbane, they might have even gone for like 40 hours. I think they attempted just as long as possible.
We had Jason PJ on. They did 56 hours, and they gave us a pep talk at 10:30. Yeah, but there's ads. It was radio 56 hours.
They napped, didn't they? Did they nap? They had to have napped.
No, I don't think so.
No nap.
But that's the thing, like just going until, like going that far, it's like, It becomes a bit like a demolition derby, doesn't it? Where it's like, you know, people are just listening for them to lose their mind. Like, no one's listening. No matter how great you are, even Jerry Seinfeld, probably by like hour three, he's not going to come up with anything profound. Like, people were listening for 50 hours just to hear someone die from not sleeping.
I'm actually confused with what hour we're at. How many have we got to go? Because I don't know which sting to play.
I think you're running seven. Oh, six.
Is it the 16th?
Hang on, so we've done 9 hours and 10 minutes on the live stream.
So what is that?
Hamish, you're the smartest one in the room.
So if we started at 7, that's 24 hours. How long have we got to go?
Yeah, you have done 9 hours. So you've
Charles says 15.
Oh, that's really. I had the 16-hour sting ready. I was going to impress the pants off you guys.
I would just say don't start doing hours to go until it's like under 10, because you can't do more than half of the hours to go, can you? Well, I mean,
this is like the University of Melbourne. I saw that they had a painted path advertisement that said the 44th best university in the world, and I just thought at that point probably don't bother.
Yeah, mate. I mean, there are some lists where it's honourable to be like, I suppose, like, you know, the BRW richest 500 people. It's cool to be number 400 on that if you're into that kind of thing. Like, you don't mind being 400. But yeah, there are other lists where top three will do, top 10 at a pinch. And I think the general rule here for countdowning is you just wait until at least half the time's elapsed, because otherwise it kind of makes it look like you don't want to do it. If you're like, 23 hours to go, it does wear the question of going, you're counting down.
Did you do it? Done it. 15 hours.
Sorry, Haim. It was automated. I couldn't help it.
It was automated.
You obviously put a lot of effort into that, and it was going to get played no matter what. But yeah, Next time we do it, let's just start them at 10. You know, like start. You can't think about the end too early. I'm sure Jason PJ told you that.
Now, well, the thing is, I wanted to talk about some miscommunication, because when you said, "Hey, can we do 3:30?" I'd sort of, not that, you know, I may have used sort of your brand equity to the Gronks, where I'm like, yeah, Hamish Blake's coming on the show. You know, that's why we have 108 people watching right now on the stream. What was that?
I think it was for that 15 hours to go word art.
But anyway, I was using your brand, I hope you don't mind. And I sort of said Hamish was coming on, but with the text messages that we had, we were all celebrating the fact that I thought you were coming on at 4:40 in the morning as like a final pump up. Were you ever coming on at 4:40 in the morning?
No, absolutely not. Sorry about that. I'm glad. Let me just look back at these messages.
I literally said to Brad Blank, Brad Blanks is joining us at 4 a.m. I said, mate, just before Hamish. He's like, man, you guys are doing amazing stuff. Like, the fact that Hamish is getting up at 4:40 in the morning, I'm like, man, he rides every morning at 4:40. I think he's just like, he's working. He had a real good story.
You really invented, you projected a lot onto that, didn't you? There's a lot of, because it's like, hey, what time do you reckon you'll be, we'll work for you Friday, Saturday. We're doing 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. So I was like, yeah, man, what about 4:40? I think I misread it as 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you're right, because I said I'll be close to the end and I'll get to see you guys really loose. Because in my mind, doing 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., that's still a lot of radio to do. That's like, you will be delirious in 12 hours. So that's kind of my error.
Oh, that's all right.
And then about 3:30, you're like, oh, wow, a.m. or p.m. I was like, obviously.
No, that's okay.
You be doing at 4:30 a.m.? Just curious, though.
Oh, I mean, I'll be watching. I just wouldn't trust myself to go live. Obviously, you stay with me for a while. I can't join you live. No, look, I mean, sometimes I do get up early to exercise. Certainly not 4 o'clock, but maybe sometimes like earliest I'll ever do is like a 5:30. But the anguish it causes my life is just never worth it, because I think I can be super quiet and then I go and like have a bike ride or whatever. Then when I get home at 7, I see a message from like 5:54 going, you know, not as quiet as you think, mate, or whatever. Okay, not worth it.
What's ISO been like, Haim? What have you been up to?
Not Haim. So I'm looking at my
This is a disaster. Are you still there? Hang on, you've just, your connection's just shit the bed.
Blake, you hear me? Is he coming back? Oh, this is Hamish.
Oh, here we go. Do you know what? We could come back.
I'm back. I'm back. I'm just saying I'm back a lot. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. Do you know what you could do? I mean, this is slightly annoying at your end, but I can call you for audio and then we still get the video. It will look good. You won't get that reverb that you're getting. Hang on, give me a sec.
I understand that. I just really do have to call Channel 9 in about 3 minutes.
All right. This is convenient.
So apologies for that, but just quickly for what I'm doing in Iceland, today just seems to be like the day of catching up with people. I've been doing a bit of Zooming. I've always got a fairly hectic Zoom schedule. So zoomed around a little bit this morning. Then I actually, this was not as, I was properly invited to this meeting. I just come from a meeting of LEGO Australia and New Zealand. I got invited to be a special guest speaker at their company catch up. Dropped a lot of hints about how I would love some sort of gold card to get me free Lego. And now I'm going to hang with you guys, and then I've got to talk to Channel 9. So honestly, today's the only day that's actually felt like what people must be doing the whole time, which is like, oh, I'm, you know, talking to people all day. Because mostly I'm like wrestling on the trampoline with my little boy, or I've been battling my way through prep for the second time in my life. I'm learning all about the alphabet and basic reading, which, geez, prep school stuff is boring. It's pretty boring, I got to tell you.
Meowbit is scaring the fuck out of me right now. Yeah, like, Meowbit is actually perfectly positioned.
It looks like going wrong. It does look like he's a tiny evil cat in my ear, doesn't he? he's sitting on top of some drawers, and now he's gone into my neck. But yeah, the way he's positioned, it's like I'm a mini Tiger King. Like, I've got a palm-sized cat on my shoulder. Oh, no, sorry, other way. Yeah, there he is. He's back.
For the final 30 seconds, our editor, George, comes into the office all the time. He's always wearing the perfect holiday jumper. He's, which I think, like, wearing, I mean, we're in different spaces, so I think, you know, you do your podcast and all that sort of thing, but it's sort of a different thing. But, George, I thought you could give Hamish a question. You're a big fan of Hamish and Andy. What's your question for Hamish?
Oh, great. I mean, a three-minute answer is going to be tough.
That's all right.
Maybe I should think of a different one.
Come on.
All right. How do you, I've heard you talk about you pedaling hard in your 20s and just working, and now you're taking a bit of time off. I feel like the pedaling for me is sort of happening right now. But how do you stay present at home? Because that's something I need to get better at, because I just keep ticking over in my brain when I get home. And yeah, I want to be more present.
Great. I mean, very apt. But my kids ran into the bedroom there as I was doing this to start dancing off camera. In terms of switching off from work, in terms of staying more present, it's a great question, because when we kind of do the stuff that we do, you're not switching off that much when you get home, because you also kind of know that when you work in the ideas industry, one idea easily counts as like a full day's work, because there's no way you have 365 great ideas in a year. So, you know, if you actually have one good idea in that day, that's like you've produced an above average day's workload by having one good idea. So there's that weird temptation, because you always know that it could come at any time. So I think the temptation is that your brain is like, I better keep thinking about work and keep doing stuff. But I think there really is a lot to the magic of properly switching off, and you let your subconscious do what it's got to do. And honestly, the simplest thing that I've learned is to check my phone somewhere else, and then you are present. And if you check it, like I do the basic stuff, like I put it on a shelf in another room, and it's weird because you feel like you've got a big problem and you feel like you're an addict and you're having to confront yourself on that. But as soon as you do that and you put your phone on another shelf in another room, I reckon you feel yourself reaching for it like 10 or 15 times when you're like meant to be with your kids, and it reminds you that probably putting your phone away was a good idea.
I mean, George, you've got the 24-hour stream, so mate, he's actually sleeping at the office tonight, so he won't be getting to sort of
bad day to talk about trying to not think about work so much is actually all you can think about.
Awesome, thanks,
Ham. That's great. One last thing: what should I get for dinner off Uber? Give me an order. What do you reckon?
Gee, there's a lot of restaurants on there now. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of fancy restaurants that are on over now too. You can't miss with pizza at the moment. Like, I've been doing a lot of pizza. Pizza and Thai. I reckon, you know what? Thai holds up even better.
Yeah. All right. Do you get coconut rice?
Always. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, no. I just spoke to someone the other day and they said they don't do coconut rice, which was just freaking
out. Not with masa, man. It's a bit too sweet.
There's no such thing, really. Might have to leave you guys.
Had it this morning.
Oh my God, we've left. Hamish is pissed. He's jumping out.
Thank you. Catch you, mate.